Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter number 10 tonight. And we're looking in the Old Testament, but also looking at several different places. And just thankful for the last week. Had many blessings. Last night in visitation, we had 10 people on visitation. So praise the Lord. And I'm excited about that and looking forward to seeing some more doors knock next week. And I said, Pastor, you're not going to be here. Yes, we're still having visitation, and I'll make sure that's all lined up while I'm away. And so please come and definitely come and be a part of that. I have some new move-ins also. We're going to start transitioning into some door knocking, some areas nearby the church that we haven't done in a while. So some people like doing the new visit. Some people like doing door knocking. But definitely had some positive visits there, and we just keep visiting until someone comes. Amen. That's what we do. Jeremiah chapter 10 tonight, we'll be looking at dependence. That's the title of the message tonight, dependence. And all of us tonight depend on something. None of us can live in and of ourselves. Maybe some people are depending on certain things. And this is essential to the nature of man. Dependence. And when we think of depending on something, maybe we think of someone who's been injured and needs a crutch. Maybe they broke their ankle or twisted it or sprained it or something. But in order for them to be able to move about, they become dependent on those crutches or one crutch, perhaps. Or maybe someone has a type of injury where they can't walk and they need a wheelchair. They have a dependence upon that wheelchair. And in our everyday lives, we have a dependence. And we depend on something. Now, some of us depend on the right kinds of things. Some people don't. Some people depend on the right kind of things. And we're going to look at what is right and what is wrong according to the Word of God. And Jeremiah chapter 10 really sums up this entire thought. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, if we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I come before you and ask you, dear Lord, to help us tonight. And Lord, I depend on you to give me wisdom and the words to say tonight from thy word. I pray that you would guide us and help us, Lord, that this be a blessing to us, that we would allow it to be a blessing to others, that, Lord, we would have these thoughts in our mind and our heart so that we may help others who maybe are depending on the wrong types of things and depending on self or depending on other things. Dear Lord, we pray that you would help us, give us biblical answers to these questions, and perhaps some here tonight who are not depending on you, are not depending on your all-sufficiency, Lord. As this verse says, the way of man is not in himself. I pray that you would guide and direct us in this message tonight, and give me the words to say, O Lord. We dedicate this time to you, and we pray that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Dependence. Maybe we think of different things when we hear the word dependence, and something that is essential for us, and we think of a definition of dependence, and is anything that is essential to our everyday function, that is essential to our functioning through the day. Some people are dependent on their coffee to get working and going in the morning. They are dependent upon that. They cannot. Some people who are in chronic pain, they are dependent upon medicine in order to be able to function in a normal way. And maybe we're thinking of those kind of dependents, but tonight we want to look at some things. Each and every person in here tonight has a dependency on something. We all depend on something, and what we depend on is very important. Whether we depend on God and His Word, or we depend on other things to replace God and His Word. Now, we're going to look at some things that lost people depend on, but unfortunately, some of the things we're going to look at tonight that lost people depend on, some Christians do too. We all have a propensity to do that. And so tonight we're going to do a little bit of a study here. I promise I won't preach as long as I did last week or on Sunday night. So we'll get to it. So number one, what are some things that people depend on? Well, people depend on people. Some people depend on other people. individuals depend on people for different things. If you look around at different cultures in the world and you look at the past, you look at the Bible, you see that people depend, and I'm just not talking about some dependence, I'm talking about complete dependence for everything. We know that babies are dependent on their mother for everything that they need, that for food and for clothing and to be taken care of and washed and taken care of and nurtured. In the same way, people, as they are adults, and whether they're a young person, they can begin to depend on people for different things. People depend on people for different things. Protection, maybe physical protection. Well, if you look at cultures throughout the world, you go to Africa, you go to Central American countries where they practice voodoo, or you go to Papua New Guinea where they have witch doctors, people depend on a person to keep them spiritually safe, to keep the demons away. Other people, they depend on people. They depend on a priest to keep them spiritually safe, to keep them there. Some people depend on other people for appreciation or love, and we all have a natural want for that, to be accepted and to have love. And some people depend on other people for physical provision, for money, for clothing, for shelter, for acceptance. It's natural for man to depend on someone. However, depending on a person is not a good investment. Let me explain what I mean. Now, when you look at to invest in something, and we'll look at this in the area of money right now. If you're looking to invest something, you're looking to invest some money, someone comes up to you, and they're dressed in a nice suit and everything, and they have a nice shiny business card and everything, and they say, hey, would you like to invest some money in my company? I'm starting a new company. I'm looking for investors, and they promise a great big return on all that they can do. Now, you go say, well, you know what, I'm going to think about it. And then we pull up our all trusty Google, and we go and we type in this person's name, and we find out that they're not a very stable person, that they've had 10 new companies in the last 5 years, and all of them have gone under. And so we will look at that person and say, well, that's not a good investment. You would say, well, because they're not stable, because they're not secure, I'm not going to invest my money in that. You know, some people, they go take their money, they take their retirement, and they can go invest in the stock market. I said, well, that's a sure thing. Unfortunately, in the past, it's been found the stock market is not a sure thing. Many people have lost large sums of money. Well, isn't a CD a sure thing? To a certain degree, yes. However, we should never trust in people to be a sure thing. Here's why. People fail. People cause problems. Things happen. Why? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. No matter how strong and mighty a person may be, they are still human. They are still sinful. They are still frail. Hey, but, you know, this person's got strong muscles, or this person's got this education. It doesn't matter. Man is a frail being, and man is unable to carry through. Now, are there times that they can, that man can deliver on his promise? Yes, but unfortunately, more often than not, man fails. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, this is a contrast. What does not last forever? Now, we look at our beautiful grass. It's springtime. It's April here in Texas, and we had a beautiful day today, 76 degrees. We're just outside. I was walking around, actually preparing for the message tonight, and was walking around my apartment complex just enjoying the outside, and I was remarking to my wife that it's just so green this year because we've had a lot of rain and so green, but we look at these beautiful flowers, and we look at the beautiful grass and how green it is and wonderful it is. Now, come back and visit us in August. This grass, if we haven't had much rain, but usually it doesn't matter how much rain you have, the heat evaporates it off, the grass will not look so green. The grass will be kind of either a very pale green or be brown until we get some rain in September or October. There may be some holdouts, but the grass withered away because of the heat. And that's the comparison that's how God describes man. Man is temporary. Man is finite. Man is weak. Man is sinful. Man is feeble and frail. No matter how powerful a person may think themselves to be, they are still a human being. Maybe a good example of this, as a lot of people have been paying attention to, is that maybe you have, how many have been watching the Facebook thing on and before the set? Anybody watch that? Well, I was watching that. You know, I had nothing better to do while I was painting upstairs, so I was listening to some of it. And really, and that's what everyone is so alarmed about, that this company so big and so strong and so powerful, they failed in protecting people's information. No matter how much people trusted them, and a lot of people trust them with that information, they failed. A multi-billion dollar company. And this man, 33 years old, kind of scary he's that young and has all this power and influence over people. But yeah, 33 years old, you know, he got up there and said, our company failed. We failed to do what we were supposed to do. No matter how much you trust in people, they will fail you eventually. All people will let you down in one time or another. And sometimes people make promises they can't keep. I'll never let anything happen to you. Can we promise that? That's not a promise we can keep. Some people say that. I'll never let anything happen to you. I'll protect you from everything. But we cannot control everything. But God can. So tonight, here are some examples of dependence that people have. Some people have some emotional dependence on people. They love people and they care about people. As a pastor, are you telling me I shouldn't love my spouse and depend on them for love and comfort? No, I'm not saying that at all. We absolutely need that. I'm talking about in where they hang on every word this other person says. Now, a good example of this is maybe you have noticed this, or maybe you went to college and you noticed this, that there was a couple that they were freshmen and they got together and man, they were in love. I mean, the sparks were flying and they're just gangbusters for each other, you know, and they're just around all the time. And then 2 weeks later, something happens. They find out the love wears off, I guess. The love is blind, right? The blinders come off, and they find out that they really don't like each other that much. And then the big breakup, but the one person, sometimes it's the guy, sometimes it's the girl, they're so emotionally dependent on that person. And then the breakup happens, and what do? They just get depressed, and they cry, and they scream, oh, the world is over. My whole world was wrapped up in that person. And, you know, we sit back and we chuckle a little bit. By the way, if you've ever been through it, you weren't the one laughing, were you? Because it was a real thing to you. But today, and I said, that's kind of what teenagers do. Fast forward that, there's people 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 years old that are like that. That they live in a dependence like this, and when that person fails them, their whole world comes apart. And you wonder, and you say, well, what happens to these people? Unfortunately, and you see this happen, that people take their lives, that people turn to other things, that people go, and unfortunately, this is what's becoming crazy in our day today, is that people go pick up a gun and go shoot somebody. That's the type of dependence that is unhealthy, and man is frail, and man will fail. Some people, they depend on someone for spiritual guidance and for spiritual protection. Now, a lot of you depend on me for spiritual guidance. However, it is not my job to dictate your personal relationship with God. That is not my job. My job is to proclaim God's words to you, and it's up to you to apply it. Amen? That's your job. That's not mine. I'm not a priest. I don't intercede on your behalf to take your sins away. I do pray for you, intercede on your behalf before the Lord, but it's not my job. I can't take your sins away. I can't protect you from different things if you don't apply the Word of God. There's things here we have to understand something, that when people do this extreme and they depend on someone for all of their spiritual instruction, for all of their spiritual guidance, and basically they don't make any decision. They don't look to the Word of God. They depend on this person. They depend on this teacher. They depend on this televangelist. So people do. And so whenever that televangelist says, hey, send me $29.99 and I'll send you a special prayer handkerchief and you just touch that to your wound or to your disease or you just pray with it in your hand or cry on it and you'll be healed. As a pastor, that really happened. Absolutely. It happens all the time, unfortunately. And these people can be manipulated, but also trust in a false gospel. That's what people do when they trust in the Pope. is that these Catholics, they trust whatever the Pope says is like God speaking on earth. That's literally what he says. The Pope is God speaking on earth, just like Jesus would be. It's blasphemous. But people depend on this in order so that they might be saved. They trust in a false gospel because they're trusting in people. As well, independent Baptist people don't do that. Unfortunately, it happens more often than not that people get behind the wrong people. And just because you read a book and you agree with it and it sounds like a good idea doesn't make it biblical. Amen? Amen. Oh, it gets quiet. Amen? Because just because it sounds good and they used a couple verses here and there, example, Mike and Debbie Pearl. Nothing godly about any of that. I've read it. That's not biblical. There's some good things in there, I understand. However, there's other things in there. It sounds an awful lot like a cult to me. That's what it sounds like. And abuse to your children. That's what it sounds like. But pastor, you don't understand. There's pastors, independent Baptist pastors all over the United States of America. Yes, and they're wrong for promoting this because a lot of them haven't even really read it or read the stuff in it. Now, if you disagree with me, that's fine. That's fine. We can disagree on that. But that's the type of thing people follow, and they get themselves into trouble with God and with other things, even the government and the law. Because, now, how about this? We find other people that follow people in other things, not only spiritual, but look at leadership. They depend on the leadership of other people. But we see in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 14, Numbers chapter 11 and verse 14, we see that Moses was the leader of the children of Israel, and people were looking to him, but even he, the mighty Moses, he had frailties. He made mistakes, didn't he? He got angry. He got frustrated and did what God told him not to do. God told him to speak to the rock and not to hit it. So in his anger, he struck out at that rock, and in arrogance and in pride, he did it, and God judged him for it. Moses had frailties. And here in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 14, we see the great pressures of leadership have come upon Moses. I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And so we depend on our leaders, and I wonder how many times the President of the United States has said that. Or the leader of a country, they say that privately. They don't say that out loud because people lose confidence then. But we see, we don't know if Moses said this out loud, but he's saying this to God. And that it's too heavy, it's too much for me. And then the wisdom of his father-in-law was what? To appoint people and appoint people under him to take the responsibility, to delegate responsibility. But here we see that there is a frailty in leadership. And we have the people depend on leadership in different areas of their life to make financial decisions. They trust implicitly their CPA or their lawyer or something like that. And because of that trust is that there's evidences all the time. A lot of times older people have complete dependence and faith in these people and they steal hundreds of thousands of their dollars because they have a complete dependence on these people for leadership. When the person fails, then everything falls apart in these areas. And there's many other areas that people are dependent, but just ones that we know above hand. And if we look at dependence, dependence is an issue of faith. If you think about it, dependence is an issue of faith. Whatever you depend on is what you really believe in and have faith in. And some people have more faith in people than the Savior of heaven. Amen? The Savior of man and the God of heaven and God of earth. We see that they have more dependence upon a frail human being who is just as frail as they are than they do on Jesus Christ. And when you depend on something, you're showing where your faith is and also where your faith is not. So you look at a Christian's life and say, well, I love God and I trust in God and I have faith in God. But then you see them making decisions to the contrary. Where is their faith then? Not where they're saying, but where they're living. Faith is a living faith, as we mentioned on Sunday, and it's a growing faith, but also a faith is a faith that we must live out, and what we can say all we want, you know, with the phrase, talk is cheap, it is, but until you walk out there and show people what your faith is, and when you walk something that is against what you say it is, it makes you a hypocrite, yes, but it really shows what your dependence is on, if it's on God or something else. So people depend on, number one, people. Number two, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. People depend on prosperity. Prosperity. They all start with P tonight, if you're wondering. Prosperity, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm trying to make sure I'm going slow here. We had a good southern meal at Cracker Barrel, and we had a nice coffee. And, man, that thing had some caffeine in it. So I'm trying to be calm here and not get going too much here. But these are things that are important because, as a pastor, I see people that are dependent in these different areas and how can be destructive in their life. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Anybody that knows anything about money, and maybe you live by money or live by having things, there's a lot of things associated with money that can cause pain in your life and, you know, some distress of mind. I mean, if you have debt that's beyond all measure, I mean, that's a great distress in your heart and your mind and the pressure upon you. And maybe people have gone through the corporate world and gone climb the corporate ladder, and you know, and they're trying to do all the best that they can, and then people trying to climb up the ladder faster than you, and they don't care if they step on you along the way and kick you down a couple of rungs, and that hurts. And these are things that people, and it hurts not only them, but it hurts their families. How many stories and accounts of people that we know that have watched their family self-destruct because mom and dad got caught up going after money? I mean, we all know people. We all know family members, lost and saved alike, that have had that happen. We all know people. And that's what some people do. I said, well, since work depending on people didn't work out, since that I got hurt and something didn't go well, then I'm just going to depend on money. You know, prosperity, money is kind of an impersonal thing. You know, it doesn't have feelings. But people take that and they make that their dependence, what they depend on every single day. Some people, they turn to money to gaining it or the hoarding of it and also to the trusting of it to, in order to keep them safe. They think that money can buy the security they desire. They depend on money for different things. Some people depend on money for happiness. The more money I have, the happier I will be. And you know, if you looked at different things, and I'm an airplane enthusiast and things, and I like looking at the different things with technology, and the Airbus A380 and the new big, humongous airliners. And I watched this one video, and that this guy, he flew in first class from the United States to the United Arab Emirates. And he just had all these cool things, and I mean, they gave the first class service, and they gave him the warm towelette and everything, and he could recline and turn it into a bed, and all of these things. And then I found out how much his ticket cost. His ticket cost $8,000. I'm thinking, man, you could buy a nice car with that. Amen. You can buy a really nice car with that. You can buy a couple cars with that. That's a nice down payment on a house. I mean, a lot of different things. And this guy, he was a journalist. But I'm thinking, how many people, and you know, this first class section was packed of business travelers going back and forth. And that's what they live for, is to make money. So $8,000 is all part of the thing. And I'm thinking, man, what can you do with $8,000? If you look at just the way some people waste money, sometimes, ever seen that? Is they just go to Walmart and they have like one kid and they spend $500 and something. They have like carts and carts. Well, they have one kid and they're like, where do they eat? They eat all that, you know, and they find out the kid doesn't eat a quarter of it and throws half of it away, right? And that's what people look at. They look to prosperity to buy happiness. The more money I have, the happier I will be. And you know, people that they work for it and they work for it and they said, if I just have a little bit more, I'll be happy. I'll just have a little bit more, I'll be happy. If I have a little bit more, I'll be happy. Well, guess what? That little bit more never comes, and you're never happy. Because money gives a false assurance. And money gives a false promise. And the devil loves to trap people with this. If you have enough money, then you will be happy. I've seen a lot of people that have money that are not happy. Amen? You know, a lot of these people, who are the people that drive the craziest and have some of the road rage on the road? They have the nice cars, right? Not everybody, pastor, I mean, people that have money are bad. I'm not saying that. However, I'm talking about people that they have the love of money. They love it. They go after it. They do everything they can. They're workaholics. They work 100 hours a week just to get a little bit more of it. And guess what? They're not happy people. Why? Because they don't have enough. They don't have enough money. They wish they had more. And you know, a discontentment is the disease. It's not a disease, but it's a sin is what it is. Discontentment is what the devil likes to bring into all Christians' lives. Discontent with what God has provided. Discontent with how much money God has given you. You know, here's a good way to look at it. If God thought you could handle more money, he'd give it to you. So he hasn't given you a whole lot because that's all you can handle. Amen? And that's how I look at it. If you're not wise with what you have now, don't think you're going to get more later. And what does Proverbs say? A little bit of a paraphrase here, but he that looks to get rich quick will not be innocent. Meaning, if you're going to get rich quick, you got to do something dishonest to get it. Isn't that really how it happens? And these people that get rich quick, and you know what? You know how they're getting rich? By trying to tell you how to get rich, which really doesn't work. You know, if you think about it, that's how they get rich. But people have all kinds of dependence on money. For happiness, well, some people depend on it for power and influence. They have to feel powerful and influential. They run big companies or they do have a large business, and so they have power and influence so they can buy politicians and things like that. Some people depend on that. Some people, they depend on it for prosperity. Now, when I'm talking about prosperity is that all areas of their life grow and flourish and bloom, that they have happiness, they have peace and joy, and their families turn out right, and all of these things. They depend, if I just had enough money, and I just lavish all of this money and give my children the best and of everything and give them everything that they want, then everything is just going to turn out fine. Look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. And that's unfortunately a lot of people believe this. Even Christian people believe this. That if they just simply get all the money that they can and that they trust in money to bring them prosperity, everything is going to turn out okay. It's a little rocky right now, but it's all going to turn out okay. Proverbs, Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. It's talking about the sower and the seed. That the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, it's deceitful. Don't fall for the lie. Young people, don't fall for the lie that life is all about making money. It's not. True, do we need money to live? Yes. Does God call us to take care of our families? Yes. However, God does not call us to be rich. Amen? God can make you rich if you honor him and serve him and are honest and you don't make it. You know, it's interesting that people that are rich and God is blessed, they didn't start out to be rich. They were wise with what God gave them, and they were good stewards, so God gave them. Just like the parable of the man with the talents, he was wise with what God gave him. He didn't live according to that talent, but who did? The guy that dug it, put it in the ground. He cared more about that talent. He was afraid, and he cared so much about that one talent, instead of used to being wise with it, he buried it in the ground and got nothing. But if we're wise with it, God blesses, but those people did not start out to be rich. Now, there's some lost people that do start out to be rich. That's their dream. 10 years old, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have everything my parents never gave me. And that's how they live. And guess what? They get to the end of their life, and they're unhappy. They depend on it. They depend on money, and they're not happy. They're not prosperous. Many of them are dependent on the alcohol bottle. If you look at that. If you look at the culture of a high-level business, there's three things there: immorality, alcohol, and drugs. A lot of these people, you know, these different ones I mentioned before, the rescue mission. There was this one guy that was there. He was a very prosperous man, and he had a business, and he was a Christian, and he went to church, and he was there, and he was at a business meeting, and someone asked him to try a snort of cocaine. And he did it. Hooked on it, lost everything. Lost his family, lost everything. Ended up sleeping in the ditch because of it. Because of money. All he wanted was to have some money. They're not happy. They're dependent on the alcohol bottle. They're dependent on immorality. They're dependent on the doctor and pharmacist just to sleep at night while having sleeping pills and all these things because money is deceitful and riches are deceitful. They put their faith in money, but has been misplaced. Once again, it's not a good investment. Money is not a good investment because it never returns what it promises, because happiness cannot be bought. Joy cannot be bought. Amen. Godly children cannot be bought. Amen. We can't buy those things. Those are gifts given by God. We can't buy them, though how people try. But in the end, they destroy their children instead of saving them because of money. Some people trust in number three. So we've looked at first people, second prosperity or riches. Third, they trust in personal power. Personal power. When people and possessions fail them, a person will turn to themselves. If you can't trust yourself, who can you trust, right? That's how the saying goes, isn't it? Well, I can't trust any of these things. Well, I'm just going to look out for number one. I trust myself. And this is a great trap of many people today and of Christians today. Hey, I can trust myself. I can trust what I think about the Bible. I can trust what I think about God's will. I can trust everything on my own. Now, be careful of this. They are dependent on themselves for their own wisdom. Now, we're going to look at a series of verses here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. They're dependent on their own wisdom. They know everything. They have a lot of knowledge about things, and so they've got it all figured out. If they don't know the answer, they go and figure out what the answer is, and they don't go to the Bible. They trust in their own mind and their own intellect, and sometimes even people that study the Bible, they trust in their own intellect and their own knowledge to understand the Bible. Now, we're to depend on the Holy Spirit of God to give us understanding of the Bible. Amen? Because the Bible is a spiritual book and needs to be spiritually discerned. And last time I checked, we're not naturally spiritual, are we? We're naturally dead in our trespasses and sin. But by the invigorating and the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God, we're able to have an understanding of what the Bible says. And some people, they trust in their own knowledge and their own intellect. And guess what? If you have a particular bent, a particular way of thinking, you can get the Bible to say what you want it to say, to suit your needs, to suit what you want it to say, to make it most comfortable for you. Oh, don't we live in the day of that? That people take the Bible and make it what they want it to say in whatever area they choose. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Now, they trust in their own wisdom, their own understanding. They have it all figured out. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So though those people that are the leaders of the world, and you know, we would say, well, they're wise. You know, we think of the Dalai Lama and these people. You know, they're wise people. That's what people say. They're wise people. People look to the Pope. He's a wise man. And they look to maybe the President of the United States, President Trump, or other presidents, and say, well, you know, they're a wise man. And you know what? No matter how wise they think they are, according to God, their wisdom comes to naught. Because if you compare man and God, which we're going to in a minute, man's wisdom does not measure up. Because man doesn't know everything. Man can't see everything. Man doesn't understand everything. Because all we understand is a very small speck of what God sees and knows and understands. Not even a speck. Can't even measure it. Because God is infinitely more than what we comprehend with our minds. So that's a problem. Well, okay, I can't depend on my own wisdom. I can depend on my own physical strength, my own willpower, right? I can depend on that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Looking at, the strength that I have. I have some physical strength. I have some might. I have some willpower. I can figure this out. I can get through it. I can figure out. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps and be like John Wayne and be tough and go and just grit it out. Well, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 has something to tell us about that. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Okay, we just looked at that. Don't glory in your wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might, meaning a strong man has physical strength, glory in his strength, or let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So strength, wealth, wisdom, all of these things. You know what God said? Don't trust in them because they'll fail you. They'll fail you. Maybe somebody's, okay, well, I can't trust my own wisdom. I can't trust my own strength. Okay, well, there's some other things I can trust in. I can take care of myself. I'm going to trust my own vision for my life, my own what I see in my vision. I'm going to trust in that. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 7. 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 7. Now, this was the time of the choosing of the next king of Israel. And Samuel had gone to Jesse and was looking at all of his sons, and all of them were passing before him. And now there were several of them that had come before him and had looked, and he had looked at him and said, you know, has God chosen this one? No, God hasn't chosen this one. No, God said, no, I haven't chosen this one. No, I haven't chosen this one. And Samuel's like, God, look at him. He's tall. He looks kingly. He's strong. Look at him, man. He looks like a king. Are you sure? I mean, this guy looks awful good. I mean, are you sure, God? No, God hasn't chosen this one. And got down to the end of them, and God said, you know, who is it, God? You know, who is it? He said, God hasn't chosen any of these, because I haven't chosen any of them. And Jesse said, do you have any other sons? Well, yeah, there's this little scrawny, short kid, David. He's out in the field, but I don't think you want to see him. He's not king material. Well, you know what? God looks at something that man does not, and that man cannot see. Actually, not chapter 6, verse 7. I think it's chapter 16. Yes, chapter 16 and verse 7. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. Samuel said, surely this is the guy. This is it. I found him. This is it. And God said, nope. And God gave him a very important lesson, reminded Samuel of something. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, for the Lord looketh on the heart. And then we see the other sons come before him, and all of them, and God said, I haven't chosen this one, but what did God say here? I have refused him. Why? I mean, he was good looking, he was tall, he was good looking, he was probably pretty proud of himself for that. And his heart, he didn't have a right kind of heart, he had the wrong motivation, he had the wrong things going on, and Samuel couldn't see that. We can't see it either. We can't see inside the hearts of people. Though maybe there's some evidences of what's in there, but we cannot make a final judgment on what is in someone's heart because we are not them. Only God can do that. And some people say, well, I'll trust my own vision. I'll trust my own sight. I'll trust only on what I can see. But it hasn't been proven. We all know what optical illusions are, right? Things that appear to be, but they aren't. Why? Because our eyes have been fooled. Because of what we see. You know, I'll just keep my head on a swivel. I'll watch out for myself. Well, guess what? There's all kinds of things that we can't see. We can't see what happens in the spiritual realm. We can't see the movements of Satan. We can't see the movements of God, of the Satan's forces. We can't see any of that. We can't see with our eyes the physical attacks. Why? Because we fight not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. That's who we fight against. You can't trust your vision for that because you can't see it. But what did Elisha do when he saw the great host there and the servant was like, what's going to happen? I mean, we're toast. Elisha said, Lord, let him see your deliverance. And he saw round about them all the angels and all of the host of the armies of God. And you know, so we can't trust our own vision. Well, okay, so I can't trust my wisdom, my strength, my wealth, or my vision. You know what? But I'll go with my trusty number one thing. You know, we're running out of parts of our body right now. You know, we can't trust our strength and might. So, well, you know what? When all else fails, you know what I can trust? I can trust my heart. Right? We're just to follow our heart. Right? You watch the Hallmark Channel, that's all you learn. Right? Just follow your heart. Oh, by the way, that's not real. It's a television channel, okay? Some people say, oh, this is what it is right here. But look at Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Got to trust. I'm just going to trust my heart. I'm going to trust what my heart desires, and I'm going to trust the decisions my heart makes, and I'm going to trust how I feel about things. And you know what? Your heart, if you lean on that, you know what? You'll find out something very quickly. That when it comes to the things of God, your heart doesn't usually have very fond feelings by itself. But when it's underneath the control of the Holy Spirit of God, We do have that. But we see in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21, what do we see here? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Actually, I'm in Matthew. Well, that's a good verse for what we're talking about. But because they said it outwardly, they didn't believe in Jesus Christ in their heart. But we're in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. The Lord had us reason to do that. But verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of man, these are where these things come from. You know, the evil in the world comes from just bad eggs. No, it comes from everybody's heart. Proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from where? The outside. The environment we live in, right? Now, what did Jesus say? From within. And defile the man. That's what our heart is. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? So all of these things, that's where the heart comes from. That's what comes from the heart. So I don't want to get into those things and go that way. And all of these things, that's a whole sermon, right? And that, just two verses right there. That's what's in the heart. So don't trust your heart, because that's where it's going to lead you in that direction. Okay, he said, Pastor, I understand. I can't trust my own wisdom. I got that. I can't trust my own strength or my own wealth or my own vision and my own heart. But hey, you know what? When all else fails, I can trust my mind. I can trust what I think, right? Because, you know, I'm a logical person. I'm an intellectual person. I can trust in my mind. Well, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. God says, nope, can't trust in that either. Don't trust in what your mind thinks, because our mind, and you know, when there's only a certain thing about our mind. They have to understand something. Some people have said that our mind is the most marvelous computer and most advanced computer that's ever been designed. And it was designed by God, and just happened by accident, you know. It was just a bang, and there our brain was. No, it doesn't what happens. It was God who created us and designed us with that. But something about a computer, if you know anything about computers, that computers are only as good as what? That's right, with the information you put into it. So if you program a computer and you put the numbers in it, you put mathematical formulas in there, that you put in there that 1 plus 1, you're programming it one day, well, 1 plus 1 equals 3. Well, that's not true. Well, the computer doesn't know that. And so what you do is you put it in there, boom, and you put it to tell it to do some calculations and to solve the world's problems and everything, and you do all that, and you didn't know it had that little mistake in it. Guess what? That computer is going to reach the wrong conclusion every single time. And you know what? People that trust in their own mind have the same problem, is that they put in some input in some things of this world that they believe are true, that they believe are the real thing. And guess what? They go down and live their life, and they come to the wrong conclusion every single time, because they trusted in what they thought about things instead of what God thought, or God thinks, I should say. Because God knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is all things and knows all things. He knows a lot more than we know. I mean, all that we know and all the knowledge in all the world, think about that, all the intellectuals that have ever lived, all of that will not even equal a speck in what God knows. Man, I think it takes some knowledge to design the universe, amen, to put the stars in heaven, to make the planets, to make stars, how this nuclear reaction go. I mean, that's such a massive scale that they just burn and burn for thousands of years, and it just in that baffles the scientists how this could even happen. It was a big bang that started it all. No, God made it. That's a lot of knowledge, isn't it? And you know what? It took us how many years just to put something up in space to find out it was there? God knows a lot more than we know, and we think we know so much with all of our technology and all of our things. You know what? And something interesting. With all of these, the technology we have today, and all the things that we know, and I was listening to things with Facebook today, and and how they want to interconnect everybody and all the information they have on everybody and all the things and all of this stuff. They know everything about everyone, what they like and what they don't like and the people they associate with. They know all of these things. But you know what? One thing that they have not figured out yet, that man is a sinner. With all that knowledge, what good is it doing? They haven't figured that out yet, that man is a sinner. What good is all that doing? But God knows man's a sinner. All of these things will fail us. Our wisdom, our strength, our wealth, our vision, our heart, our mind, they'll all fail us. Some trust in themselves for their spiritual needs. Maybe for salvation, Ephesians 2:9, it's not of works, then man should boast. They trust in their own ability to save themselves. They trust in their own way to get to heaven. They trust in their goodness to get them to heaven. They don't trust in the Almighty Savior. And that brings us number four. So these are things we shouldn't trust in. We shouldn't trust in people. As a pastor, I'm never going to trust anyone ever again. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? Don't take what I'm saying here and go over here with it. What I'm saying is that having an utter dependence for your day-to-day function on somebody, we can't do that. Second, we shouldn't be dependent on possessions or prosperity, on wealth, in order to function. Because when it all goes away, what happens? It all falls apart. Number three, build their life on personal power, on their own selves, on their own wisdom, on their own might. But what do we need to build our life on? The solid rock of Jesus Christ. That's number four, our preeminent Savior. All the devices of man will fail. All the faculties of man will fail. This brings us back to our text tonight. Let's look back at it again. Look back at Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. That brings us all back to where we started tonight. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. And very important. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, let's look back at something for a moment. Look back at chapter 9 and verse number 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. Now, this is important. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. This is the key. What are we dependent on? When man gets to the point, understands this, and knows God, and understands that they are nothing without the mighty power of God, that they cannot depend on themselves, they can depend on no one else except the Lord. Why? What does it say? Because only he said, I am the Lord, which is a loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. They have figured out, they have decided, they have finally come to this fact. You know, with all of man's knowledge and all of man's know-how, they have not come to this conclusion that they need God. No, what do they come to the conclusion of? Well, they need more things, more stuff, more technology, more this and that, instead of knowing and finding the Lord and knowing him. Instead, they get further away. Man is powerless to save himself. Man is powerless to direct his own path. That's what it says here in verse number 23 of Jeremiah 10. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Man knows how to walk, but he doesn't know where to go. That's why they're lost. That's why we're lost without God. That's why we're lost without the Bible. That's why we're lost without Jesus Christ. Can't direct his own path. Man is powerless to make his own way. Man is powerless to make his own decisions. Oh, we don't like that. I want to make my own decisions. Guess what? You're going to mess it up. Just mark it down. You're going to mess it up. Amen? Those of us that have lived a little longer, we know, you know what? When I did it my way, I messed it up. Amen? Maybe we remember some of those things. I learned that lesson the hard way. Guess what? The lesson was already in the Word of God. We just didn't listen to it. Or maybe we didn't know it at the time. The Lord Jesus Christ knows how frail we are, though. We're powerless. We're incapable. And now maybe tonight we're thinking, man, what can I do to serve God? I mean, I can't do anything. I mean, can I live the Christian life? I mean, since I'm so powerless and decrepit and sinful, here's a verse I would like you to really meditate on. I encourage you to memorize it. In all of the frailties and sin of man, God knows that. Isn't that amazing? I got Psalm 103 and verse number 14. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness, and unto children's children. So this is the promise of God. If you trust in him and walk righteously before him and depend on him, you'll see the blessing in your grandkids. That's a promise. This is how you have a godly heritage, is by depending upon God for everything, for your provision, for your knowledge, for your spiritual direction, for everything. If you depend on God and depend on Jesus Christ, he will direct our paths. We trust in his word. But verse 14 is just humbling. For he knoweth our frame, because he made us. He knoweth that we are dust. He knows we're frail. Aren't you so glad for the patience of God? Amen. Aren't you so glad for the mercy of God, the grace of God, that he is so patient with us. He is so high and above us, and high and mighty, and knowledge and every other thing. I mean, we just make complete fools of ourselves in front of him when we trust in our own way. If you think about it, you know, you think of maybe there's some primitive cultures around and they do things, and you look at them like, wow, man, they just don't have a clue. They have a clue about these different things. Don't they know this? Don't they know that? The level between us and God is far greater than anything like that. And what we do is foolishness to him, because he knows all things. But yet, he still loves us. He's still patient with us. He's still gracious with us. No matter how high and mighty we think our mind and our thoughts and our knowledge and our wisdom and how good we think we are at everything, we know nothing compared to God. And when we figure that out, then we set ourselves up for success, which is the opposite of what the world says. Get all the knowledge you can and make your way in life. That's not how the Christian life works. You realize that you don't know anything, and then depend on God. What are you dependent on tonight? Remember, dependence on something means you have faith in something. What are you trusting in? We can depend on Christ for everything, for protection, for provision, for even our prosperity. Remember, out of the riches of his, the glorious riches in who? Christ Jesus. What are those? I mean, I'm going to be rich. Remember what I said earlier, that the blessing of peace and the blessing of joy, the blessing of grace, the blessing of mercy, those are things money cannot buy. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy joy. You can't buy a clean conscience. You can't buy peace in your soul. These are things that are beyond all worth in money, but they're given to us by God. These are the glorious riches that he gives to us. And then on top of that, the fruits of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts he gives to us. These are worth more than all the wealth in all the world. But do we really believe that? A lot of Christians don't believe that. That all that God has given to them, it doesn't matter if you had all the trillions and trillions of dollars in the world, you had all the money in the world, that you would turn it all away in order to keep the blessing of joy and peace and grace and mercy of God. That's what we have. These are all that we need. Now here's a question. Is Christ really all that we need? Now we sing that song, he is all I need, right? We sing that song here in church. Is Christ really all that we need? Ask yourself that question. Is he really all that we need? Do you live like Christ is all that you need? Or do you need the pill bottle? Or do you need something else? Do you really have faith in Christ and depend on him for everything? Wisdom in regards of our everyday life. Oh, God isn't concerned with our menial tasks of every day. I would disagree with you. He is concerned with our everyday tasks, because our everyday tasks reflect on him. Everything that we do reflects on him. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think that covers everything, I think. No matter what you do, do it all for the glory of God. Some people think that their homes are their private little area. And they are, in a sense, but remember, even inside the home, God wants you to do all for his glory inside the home. Well, no one can see me. He can. Remember that. And what you do inside comes out on the outside, whether we like it or not. Remember, this is about Christ. Remember this about Christ. He will never fail. He will never sin. He will never forget. His power is unlimited. His knowledge is unlimited. So going back to what a good investment is, you're looking for two things, stability and security. I would say Christ is a stable person, wouldn't you say? The God of all creation, the maker and master of everything. Never sinned one time. I call that a stable person and a secure person, a secure security. We're inside God Almighty's hand. And no man can take us out of the Father's hand. Amen? That's security right there. Don't care how much security you have. You could have Fort Knox level security in all these places. Have all the security you want for the President of the United States. Nothing compares to the security of Almighty God. And that's where we are. Is Christ all you need? Do you live like he is all you need? Or are some things, Lord, I've been depending on other things. I've been depending on me. I've been depending on other people. I've been depending on money or possessions or something. I've been depending on the pill bottle. I've been depending on the alcohol. I've been depending on the pornography. I've been depending on all kinds of other things in my life except the Lord God of heaven. Will you come to him tonight? What are you dependent on?